Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Critical Alliance by Elizabeth Goddard. Leaving behind her criminal past, Mackenzie Hansen now uses her special set of skills in her successful new career as a professor of cybersecurity at a cutting-edge university. But when her former partner in crime delivers a threatening cryptic message about her father's tech company being under cyber attack, Mackenzie takes the threat seriously and heads to Montana to secure exposed assets, close security breaches, and save lives. Diplomatic Security Services Special Agent Alex Knight is back home in Montana to decompress from a mission gone wrong. But a vandalism problem in his hometown gives him a new case to solve. Determined to learn who's behind it all, he's soon drawn into another mystery, complete with suspicious deaths, lethal threats, and whispers of espionage, all surrounding a beautiful cybersecurity expert with a dark past. When someone tries to kill Mackenzie to prevent her from learning the truth, she and Alex must find the answers before someone can silence her forever.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hemmerker, your host, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I'm with Elizabeth Goddard and Virginia Vaughn. They're returning to my show, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having us.
So now you said we could go anywhere we wanted to go. So let's just start with a little bit about the books that we're going to talk about a bit here. So Virginia, you can go first. What does a reader need to know about Texas Buried Secrets?
Well, Texas Buried Secrets is a love-inspired suspense book. It's the last book in my Cowboy Lawman series, but you can read them all as standalone, so you don't have to have read the previous books to read this one as well. This is one of my favorite characters because she started out as just a throwaway character in book one, and she's been in every single book since then, and she just grew into a character that I love, and I wanted to give her her own book, so she's getting her happily ever after.
Oh, great. I love that. We may come back to that character stuff, but let's flip over to Elizabeth. So Critical Alliance, what does a reader need to know about that book?
Critical Alliance is my Revel book. It's the third book in Rocky Mountain Courage series. One of the characters, Alex Knight, whom readers will have met in books one and two of the series, this is his story. And he is a diplomatic security services agent, which is kind of an unknown agency that's out there. I love to write, try to find agencies that readers don't know that much about. So it was a fun exploration into his story. And then my main character, my main heroine, Mackenzie Hansen, is an ex criminal hacker, and she battles a cyber criminal in the story. And it's all set in Montana with action and adventure, which I love to set my stories, next to mountains or rocky beaches, something fun.
Yeah, that's great. So both of you, these stories for both of you have characters that the readers kind of knew but didn't know. So how do you see their evolution kind of through the books? I mean, did you know when you started out that they were going to get their own book? We'll start with Elizabeth. Did you know that he was going to get his own book?
I did, because I have to sell a 3-book proposal. So yes, I knew, but I wrote his character into the first 2 books and he would kind of show up. I didn't really know who he was or what he was doing exactly. So I really left him as an enigma, hoping that, and even the other characters in the books were like, what is he doing? Where's he going? So I answered that question in book 3. So, for me, when I'm writing characters, I have to kind of live through the, I have to start writing them to know who they are. I can't plan it all ahead of time. And I don't know, maybe it's different with you, Virginia.
It's not. I wish I was that clever that I could have it all plotted out beforehand, but no, I don't. That's my goal one day, is to actually know all of my characters before I start my series.
But you do have to, in Love and Sparse Suspense, you have to actually plot out a synopsis. You have to know the story and the characters pretty, you have to know something, right?
I have to know like a little blurb, like this is going to be Brother Josh's story. But, you know, I managed to get away with not knowing very much about them. I certainly didn't know who the heroine was going to be when I started this series for this particular book. So
you said that is it your hero that appeared in earlier books, Virginia?
My hero is, this particular series is six siblings. And each book is about each of the siblings. So my hero in this book is the older brother, Josh. He's the sheriff. So he's in all the books. And I always knew he was going to get his own story. I just didn't really, really know what it was when I started the series. So, but the heroine was a nice surprise. You know, she was just, like I said, she's just a deputy in his department, and she got involved in all the cases throughout the books and just grew to be one of my favorite characters. So it was, even my editor said, you know, I can't wait for Josh and Cecile's story. You know, even before I was like, Josh and Cecile are a couple. Yes, they are going to be a couple. It just seemed very natural to make them a couple with this book.
And so, you know, writing romantic suspense, we have to, you know, match our heroes with our heroines or our heroines with our heroes. So how does that process work for you? I mean, do you start with one or the other, or just depends on who comes to you? And then you have to figure out, you know, we want them to be, you know, kind of equally matched, right? We don't want it to be lopsided, or she constantly is rescuing because she can't remember to tie her shoes kind of thing, right? We want our women to be smart, and we want our men to be, you know, protecting and smart as well. So how do you kind of come up with those two characters when you're writing your books?
Well, for me, it's one or the other. One of the other characters comes to me. It's not always the hero. It's not always the heroine, but I usually start with one character, and then I try to think of, you know, who's a good match for this character. If it's an FBI agent, I usually want somebody, a heroine that's going to be, like you said, she's going to be smart. She's going to be capable. She's probably going to be investigating something, you know, that's going to put her in contact with him. So yeah, I just start off with that one character and try to find somebody that's going to fit the story, that's going to need his help or her help.
Yeah. Elizabeth, how do you?
I don't put that much thought into it. I don't know. You're like, oh, really? We're supposed to do that? No, I don't know. I think what it is, you know, after you read so many books and you write so many books and you just kind of, you know, it just kind of happens naturally in my head somehow to match the characters. I guess both of them are just going to be attracted to a certain kind of person. And then as the story happens, they just both kind of emerge and come together, I guess, like it would really happen in real life, right? A certain way. So
yeah, I can't say I put a lot of thought into it. Like you said, sometimes it just comes organically and sometimes I really struggle with it. So yeah, just depends on the story.
Well, every story is a real struggle. Let's say that. Will you agree with me on that one?
Yes, I will.
Yeah. And I think, what about the secondary characters? How do you, especially when you're writing a series, you know, they have to, like you said, some of them appear in earlier books and then they get their own series. I mean, how much thought or conscious effort goes into making sure that, you know, what you're going to write when they have their story is going to still be true for how they were, you know, in book one, for example? Elizabeth, do you want to tackle that first?
Yeah, I do have to work. That's something I have to work hard at, because if I just did the natural part of what I would do is I wouldn't include anybody. It would just be my two characters. So I have to go out of my way. Oh, I have to include these people and remember who they are and bring them into the story somehow. You know, I've read so many fantastic series and some authors that do just such a great job with, you know, all of the characters coming together. And since I'm kind of an introvert and I'm a loner, which most writers are, my natural tendency would be just to not have anybody but just the hero. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I have to work really hard at that. I just have to figure out who needs to show up and look for opportunities to bring them in. And it does all create dialogue and opportunities to, you know, make the story go forward. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Virginia, how do you juggle all of that?
I am nodding in agreement with everything she just said.
Really? Oh, good. I feel good now.
I have to force myself to come up with secondary characters. And it's usually because I run out of words. And I run out of plot before I run out of words. And I'm like, okay, something else has to happen, which means other people have to come into this story. And I don't really give them a lot of thought because I don't plan for them to have a story, you know? So it's like my heroine in this book is named Cecile. And that was just a name that I gave her. And now everybody's like, well, how do you pronounce her name? How do you pronounce her name? And if I knew she was going to be a heroine, I probably wouldn't have given her such a hard to pronounce name. But yeah, it's great when they become such a character that you want to give them their own book, but it's not something I ever really plan for. Like I said, I'm just not that clever. In fact, I can't say that. Never mind. I was gonna tell a story, but it might ruin the book. You know, it might be a spoiler for the book. So.
All right. Well, we can skip that story. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I was just going to ask, what about names? Do you feel like sometimes when you have a name for a character and you're writing, they're like, this isn't the right name. I don't know if that happens to you, but I have to try on different names sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. This is the person.
I actually talked to my writing partner last week and I'm like, I have this hero and I don't know what his name is. I've given him like 5 different names just in this proposal that I've done. And I still don't know what his name is. You know, I've gone through Cole, Cody, you know, Matt, William. I'm like, what is his name? I just don't know.
Isn't that weird though? It's just you. It's like so much of writing is really artistic. You know, you go by feel, you know, you just have to feel who is the character. And what is their name? And you have to keep working till you get it. Yeah.
Okay. Names that makes me feel good.
Yeah. I was just
talking to
my daughter. I have a high school graduating senior who writes as well. And, you know, we're just talking about names. And so there's certain names because of your previous history with that name that I'm like, there's certain names I am never going to name a hero this name because I have such a negative, you know, almost visceral. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even villain that name because I just don't like it so much. So
yeah. Well, the problem in that is that, you know, there are readers out there who might react to a name that you've chosen like that. I know there's been a time in one of my books where one of my editors was like, no, we can't use that name. And the reason she gave did not make any sense to me. So I feel like it was just, you know, she had the visceral reaction, but I loved the name. So anyway.
Yeah. You know, no, actually in a personal story, I had that happen with our youngest kid. We don't share names. And so as my listeners know, I have 2 girls and then 2 boys. And our last one we named Silas. And I could tell that my mom just did not like the name because she thought it was just too big for the little baby. I said, he'll grow into it. It'll be fine. But I called her on it because, you know, yes, we do. I said, I know you don't like it. She's like, well, I said, it's okay. You don't have to love my kid. You'll love it. It's fine. But I feel that about my characters too sometimes. Because haven't you named him something and someone else has been like, why'd you call him that? You know, why'd you say that?
I have a character in a book that it was one of my first books that I wrote. It's never been published. It's kind of like the book of my heart. But my character's name is Chris and he ends up dying. Well, when we were trying to name my child, we were going through names and it was like, The only thing we could agree on was Chris. And I'm like, but he died in the book. I can't name my child. But his name is Chris. My son's name is Chris. But, you know, he grew into that. So I don't associate it with that anymore. But, you know, I always tell him, I'm like, I had the character first, you know. Character came first and he came. So,
well, yeah. Speaking of dying, how do you feel about killing your characters in your books? It sounds like it does touch you emotionally. I don't like to do it at all. I don't like to kill characters at all in my stories.
Actually, that character, I mean, that was a women's fiction book, and it was so natural. I mean, I hated it, but it was so natural to the story. I actually don't mind killing them, and in fact I kind of enjoy it, and I hate to say that because that sounds awful, but yeah, I write suspense, and that's a great way to move the plot along sometimes. Wow. And I actually had an editor, when my editor was on maternity leave, I had to work with a different editor, and she was like, your body count is just way too high.
I've had that. Yeah. Like, well, yeah. This is a suspense book.
Exactly.
Let me kill how many people I want to kill.
in any way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've regretted killing off a few characters. I'm like, but they had to die. I mean, it was integral to the plot. Like you said, they had to. And sometimes I wasn't sure which one I was going to kill until I got to a certain, you know, secondary character, until I got to a certain point. I'm like, oh yeah, she's got to go, or it's time for her to go. And I don't really feel, I'm more on Virginia like that. I don't really mind. Although
I wish it didn't bother me.
I can see why. Yeah.
I think if you get emotionally invested in a character, it would bother me more. I mean, I know my, spoiler alert, I know my hero and heroine are not going to die. You know, but maybe if there was a character, you know, like throughout the book or something, which, like, again, I'm just not clever enough to put people all the way through it so that people get emotionally attached to them, or that I get emotionally attached to them and then they die. Maybe in that circumstance, I don't want to say enjoy it. I wouldn't like it, but you know, if it moves the story along and it makes it more powerful, then I'm all for it.
Right. And speaking of making things powerful. So, okay. Another true confession here. How many of us have cried while writing books? Am I the only one here?
I have. Yeah.
I usually cry when I read through it again, you know, like, like I've not every book, but some books have done that. Yeah. So our own books, I'm like, oh, I know it's a good one because I cried. Yeah. Right.
I'm not sure I think it's a good one, but sometimes I'm writing the scenes, they're like, okay, no kid can come in. I'm like crying, get out of here, don't leave me alone.
I love it, you know, when they finally hit that ending and they get that happily ever after. I'm just like, oh, that is just so sweet, even though I wrote it.
But yeah, and that's one thing that we hope that I'm not sure that non-writers really understand that we do get a lot of emotionally invested in our stories, and we can read them again and be like going like, oh yeah, that's just
well, yeah. You're working towards that, right? Happily ever after, especially in love inspired suspense books. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to get that, and it's like you're working towards it the whole book, and when they finally get it, it's just satisfaction, I guess, is just the best way that I can say it, you know, even for me, even for the writer.
And I love that, you know, romantic suspense as opposed to like straight suspense or thriller. I love that we give our readers that happy, mm-hmm. that satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's one of the things that makes me happy, happy as a writer, to get them together. So slight shift, but I'm always curious, how do you find time to write in your schedules? Because I know that both of you probably just aren't full-time writers. Are you full-time writers?
I am.
You are? You both are. So you just get up in the morning and just go writing and that's it? No. Tell us your secrets.
No.
Well, I'll start with that one because that is the age old question of how to find time to write. I write for two publishers and I'm also the caregiver for a mentally disabled person. And it is just, the writing dream is not anything like I thought it would be. You know, there's no just la-di-da sitting there thinking about what I'm going to write all day long or walking on the beach between, you know, all of this, none of that. It's just, the older I've gotten and the more experienced I've gotten with writing, though, it's just the harder it is because there's just so much more life. So I don't really have the answer for that. I'm constantly searching for a better way. But, you know, I have a certain amount of word count I try to get every day on both books. I'm right. One book in the morning, one book in the afternoon, and that doesn't always happen. So whenever I can fit stuff in, you know, I'll try to have, sometimes it's a marathon writing where I have to catch up the word count. And then when things are going the absolute best, I write, you know, just a little chip away at something. And then, you know, sometimes it's 500 words, sometimes it's 3,000 words. And I'm sure, you know, you guys agree with me on that. I mean, so it's just, it's hard. It's not easy at all. How about you, Virginia?
Well, I am a full-time writer, but I'm also homeschooling two kids.
I did that, yeah.
And taking care of my mother. I have an elderly mother. And it seems like I'm busier now since I'm not working a full-time job than I ever was when I was working a full-time job. So we homeschool in the morning, and then I usually write like in the afternoons and into the evenings. That's my best writing time. But I'm kind of a blitz writer. I don't write every day. I try to write when I'm writing. I try to write a certain word count every week. But I'm kind of an attack it kind of girl, you know. I will just sit down and pump out, you know, the first draft in a few weeks or in a month or whatever. And it's like I just get writing bursts, you know, and that's how, and the closer I get to my deadline, the better writer I am. So when that deadline starts looming, I'm like, okay, I can really get focused on what I'm doing then. So yeah, it's just, it's a crazy, it's just, you just have to make the time to do it. And
the point is it gets done. It's just a crazy, it's not like, oh, I have office hours and I'm doing this all day long, because also there's all the marketing and promotion and a million other things to do with writing that are not actually writing the book and the editing. Oh my goodness.
I think it's important to, you know, to kind of figure out what works best for you. And sometimes it can be trial and error. Like I can't write at night. My brain is like, whoa, okay, it's done. So I have to do it first thing in the morning or it won't get done.
Well, so if I wrote it first thing in the morning, it wouldn't get done because not, and I used to be a morning person and more a morning writer. But then when I had kids, it's like, okay, now that they've gone to bed, I can write, you know, I have some of that quiet time, but they're a little bit older now. So that's not always the case, but that's still when I mostly do my writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to find out what works best for, you know, you is not going to work for me. And Elizabeth has her own stuff going on.
What works for me today is not going to work for me tomorrow.
There you go. That is true. You know, and it's so much truth right there.
Yeah. Whatever it takes to get the book written. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, separates the writers from the, I think maybe I'll write a book one day. Right. I mean, it's the internal motivation to sit down, hands on the keyboard, right, however that looks like each day to get it done.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time, so I'm going to give you one more opportunity to tease our readers about your book. So if they need to know one thing about your book, what would that be? Virginia, do you want to go first? Texas Buried Secrets.
Texas Buried Secrets. It's book 6 in my Cowboy Lawman series. It is the exciting finale to the series, and it's Josh and Cecile's story. So I'm so excited about it.
All right, great. Elizabeth, how about Critical Alliance? What's one short thing that you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, it is filled with mystery, suspicious deaths, lethal threats, whispers of espionage, and it's Mackenzie's and Alex's story in the third and last final book of the Rocky Mountain Courage series. And so you need to get your hands on a copy.
Yeah, great. And our listeners can listen to a little bit more about their books with this podcast too. So thank you so much both for being back on my show.
Thank you for having us.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. I've been talking with Elizabeth Goddard and Virginia Vaughn, and you can find out more about them and how to connect with them in the notes to this podcast.
Texas Buried Secrets by Virginia Vaughn. An uncovered grave reveals a deadly secret. Publicly vowing to bring a serial killer to justice, Deputy Cecile Richardson solidifies herself as the criminal's next target. And when a newly discovered victim is identified, it becomes even more personal for Cecile. She will solve this cold case. Can Sheriff Josh Avery keep her safe long enough to identify and catch the culprit? Or will the killer successfully hunt down his prey?
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.